The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Homeowners, why throw away hundreds of dollars every month to the electric company when you can save thousands of dollars over time with a solar energy system? Green Solar Technologies is proud to be a platinum installer for Solar World, the country's top-selling manufacturer of American-made solar panels. Call 800-519-2170 for a free estimate and take advantage of tax credits, grants, and rebates which won't last forever. Stop paying high energy bills and start saving money by calling 800-519-2170. 800-519-2170.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
It seems a little bit hypocritical. I mean, just a little bit hypocritical. It seems that way, but I'm going to let you decide. Just a little bit hypocritical, but again, that's just me, so I'm going to let you decide. The Congressional Progressive Caucus. Isn't that called Congress?
That's what I thought. I was about to say, you mean Congress?
Everybody in Congress except Louis Gohmert and Mike Lee.
All of you except
those five people over there. The Congressional Progressive Caucus introduced the Raise the Wage Act. You know, the RTWA.
Oh, the RTWA.
Yeah, the Raise the Wage Act. And you know what that says? We should raise
the minimum wage.
That's right. Their plan would be to push the federal minimum wage to $15 per hour. Make that the law of the land. As it stands, the federal minimum wage is $7.25. Based on the number of hours I put in, I need to speak with payroll today. Something ain't right. We may be in violation of federal law.
Think we need
to. So yeah, $7.25, the federal minimum wage. They want it to go to $15 an hour. More?
Pretty big
then,
hike.
More than double? Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty big. Now, the minimum, that's the federal minimum wage. There are state and local minimum wages that are much higher. There are some states that have passed. In fact, I think the majority of states have at least part of their states that are higher than $7.25.
Right.
I think Seattle was over 10 now.
I thought Seattle had reached the 15. Am I wrong? Are there only a 10?
They passed the 15, but it was going to be phased in. It may be there now, but when they originally passed it, it was going to be like $11 the first year and 13 the next and 15 or something. But they're on their way.
Their goal is to 15.
Right.
How are they doing?
They're not doing well with it. Just so you know, they're...
Yeah.
I'm trying to... If I were to try to put it into a sucky, the sucky is how
they're
doing.
They're sucking at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've prepared an extensive report on our raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour, and I would like to read from that prepared report now. It says,
papers in order.
Sucky. That's how we're doing.
That is the term that we are using, officially sucking.
Sucky, that's how it is. Not doing well with it. So anyways, you got this Congressional Progressive Caucus, $15 an hour is what they're pushing for. In their press release about it said, the federal minimum wage has been a stagnant $7.25 for far too long.
Far too long.
Forcing workers to juggle multiple jobs while barely making ends meet.
Barely making ends meet.
Barely.
I'm going to be like a preacher in a church.
Preach it.
Echo everything you say.
It has at least 184 co-sponsors.
184 co-sponsors.
In Congress. 100. Okay. You know how many, what is there, 190-some Democrats in the House and 46 in the Senate?
I think we're at 290-something.
So that's 239? Roughly two. Yeah. There's 184 co-sponsors.
That's kind of, the math is not.
We're all in this, right? I mean, that's like 77% of co-sponsors. Isn't it usually like, I have this bill, Cal's on board, I'll get two other people, we're all co-sponsors. Everyone's like, they're doing something I think is going to make me look good. Put my name on it. Put my name on it.
Yeah. I want to jump on that. Can I get a little action on that?
Of the 184 co-sponsors, 174 of them have unpaid interns.
Are they going to Can they pay those guys? They're going to give them the minimum wage?
No, they're not. They're because they're unpaid interns.
But they're trying to get everybody fair,
that's why
equal.
I said it sounds to me like it's a little bit hypocritical. Just a little bit hypocritical.
We're supposed to, you know, get everybody on and livable wage, and everybody needs help, and we got to make this a national thing. And oh, but not the interns though. We can't pay them.
Come on, be reasonable now. They're scum.
They're not real people.
We're talking about actual living, breathing people here.
But not, no. Interns, you misunderstood us.
They're like two-thirds of a person, you know.
Three interns make up half a person.
They're like five-ninths of a person. It's not. They're not like a real person. Come on, we have to pay them. I mean, employees, sure. To do that. So it seems to me like it's a little bit, just a little bit hypocritical.
Just a bit.
In their press release, when they said that the $7.25 stagnant minimum wage had been that way too long, they said for years the CPC and progressive groups like Fight for 15 and Good Jobs Nation have fought for workers' rights to a living wage and have continued to show how low wages impact the daily lives of working families. But of course, interns don't have families because they're like pod people.
Yeah, they grow those on trees.
It doesn't affect them. Here's the interesting thing. If you're an intern in the Capitol, if you're actually working for the congresspersons in the Capitol, you have to actually live in or around Washington, D.C., which is pretty damned expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining getting paid, first of all,
would be
really, really nice.
Yeah.
And then maybe getting paid $15 an hour.
Would be really nice.
That'd be probably really nice there for you. You might be able to actually eat.
We pay them an experience. They don't need money.
We give them far more than $15 an hour in experience. I'm sure it's something like that because otherwise, it seems to me like it's hypocritical. But I'm sure they're paying them some other. They might be paying them in unwanted sexual advances. How you doing there? You're an intern, right? Let me tell you about Bill Clinton.
Come on over here. Stand right next to me.
There is only one co-sponsor out of that 184.
Only one?
Only one that actually pays interns.
He is? Or she
Senator
is?
Bernie Sanders.
Oh.
So, okay, good, Bernie, because he pays them $12 an hour. And
really? $12 an hour?
What's the bill? $15 an hour.
We need to get them three more dollars.
So the only one who actually pays them says they're good with 12. We need the federal minimum wage to be $15 an hour.
Pay no attention to what I pay the interns.
Bernie could actually just pony up three more bucks an hour for these people. By the way, when I say that these members of Congress, 184 co-sponsors, do not pay the interns, they don't even pay their staffers. We pay the staffers.
Oh, that's right.
See, that's the other part. Right. It's not like Bernie's like, I just don't have the money to pay the extra $3 an hour. He doesn't have that. It's just allocating the funds that they get. We give them a budget. I want to say it's, I think they get something like $1.5 million per year for salaries for their staffers in total. And they get an office budget. It may be the same thing for like, you know, pencils and printers and whatever stupid, like office supplies. It might be $1.5 million, but the way it works, they can allocate those funds to employees, their chiefs of staff and, you know, receptionists and whatever, in just about any way they see fit. But there are some parameters. For example, they can't pay anybody more than like $300,000 a year.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, I'm glad that's the limit.
Yeah, it's really high. I mean, they couldn't hire one person and say, here's $1.5 million.
Right.
So there are some limitations, but they can pay them. It's into the hundreds of thousands, and they can hire as many as they want within that amount to something like that.
Right,
and then they
can divide the budget however they want.
Right, so they could hire all these interns. They've just chosen not to. And it's not even money out of their pocket. Listen, if Bernie Sanders or Chuck Schumer or any of these other dirtbags that aren't paying them, if the Sherrod Browns of the Senate. If they wanted, they could pay him. It's not coming out of their pocket. It's not like Sherrod Brown's going home going, honey, we're going to have to sell the third house. We just can't afford it. I
got to get these interns an extra.
I got to. They're just struggling so much. You know, the federal minimum wage has been stagnant too long. These people are barely making ends meet. Sell the fourth house in order to pay them. They're not doing that.
No.
He still gets his cushy little lifestyle.
If you think about it, it's like your entire job is fully funded forever.
Right. Yes.
And you don't have to worry about bringing money. Like most companies have to worry about bringing money in.
Yes.
So they can pay their staff and run a business.
They don't have to worry about that.
These guys don't have to worry about that. It's
right.
Always there.
In fact, the stuff that they're working on funding isn't their office and stuff. That's all taken care of. It's like, hey, we're getting paid.
No
we have a
what.
Retirement. That's right. No matter what, we have health insurance. We have a congressional gym. We have a congressional dining room. There's a barber at the Capitol. I'm not kidding. There's all this stuff. That's all set. We're good. Right. We're fine. And our staff, good to go. We don't have to worry about running out of pencils or anything. It's all perfectly taken care of. What they're arguing is funding everything else.
Right.
And they say they need a tax increase and still can't stay within the federal budget and have racked up $20 trillion in debt. So
it's hard, you know? It's hard.
Bernie Sanders, the one noble man, still screwing him out of $3 an hour that's not coming out of his pocket.
Nope. Nope.
I mean, can't his wife go and steal some more money from some bank somewhere?
What a, you know, can you get off that? Your butt and just
steal some money and pay the interns, Bernie?
We need $3 more an hour.
Go back to the bank. Lie about our finances. By the way, a 2015 study by the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco says that minimum wage increases are harmful to low-skilled workers because employers have to spend more money. So those with less qualifications get the boot.
So none of this is going to work anyway.
No, it wouldn't work anyways. Oh, okay. And the others will either lose hours and have to do more money.
More work, more jobs, more hours.
Yeah, or excuse me, they'll have to do more hours and they'll lose money, right?
Yeah.
That's how the whole thing works. Because, again, unless you're in Congress, you actually have to make that stuff up. You actually have to balance the budget. Congress, it's just unlimited. That's fully funded. It's taken care of. So it seems to me a little hypocritical. I'll let you decide. And let us know on Twitter. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Cal79, who's back in the house today, at Real Chris Cruz, and at The Blaze Brad. If you want to join us, use the hashtag What I Learned Today. Got to tell you about Brick House Nutrition and their product, Dawn to Dusk. It's an extended release energy supplement that lasts up to 10 hours, increasing energy, improving your mood, and stimulating your brain. Cal, over the past week or so, did it help you to have increased energy, improved mood, and brain stimulated?
Let's just put it this way. This past week was very tiring for me. I was running around a lot, didn't get much sleep. If I hadn't been on my Brick House and my Dawn to Dusk, I probably would have
crashed out.
At least my car. I mean, I was driving a lot. Let's put it this way. I would have slammed into someone or something. So thankfully, I was on the Brick House. I had my Dawn to Dusk. No energy issues, extended relief, gave it to me throughout the day. No jitters, no shakes.
That's the nice part about it, right?
It is,
there.
Especially when you're like me. Especially over the last week, getting like maybe 3 hours a night of sleep.
So if you're somebody working a lot of long hours, let's say maybe an intern in Congress and not getting paid for it, you could use the extra little boost. Try Dawn to Dusk. Maybe you're somebody working for Claire McCaskill out of Missouri. Maybe you're working for Sherrod Brown. Need a little help? Try Dawn to Dusk, the extended release energy supplement.
Write this down, okay? It's BrickHouseDoc.com. BrickHouseDoc.com. Enter the promo code DOC. Get your 15% off, because we all know you need it. You need that because you're not getting paid by your bosses, except for the guys with the Bernie Sanders office. But the rest of you, that extra little bit of 15%
I want
helps.
You to notice what they've done here at Brick House Nutrition.
What's that?
They fought for 15% off.
Exactly.
Hey-o.
Good morning.
BrickHouseDoc.com, promo code DOC, 15% off, Dawn to Dusk. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Homeowners, why throw away hundreds of dollars every month to the electric company when you can save thousands of dollars over time with a solar energy system? Green Solar Technologies is proud to be a platinum installer for SolarWorld, the country's top-selling manufacturer of American-made solar panels. Call 800-519-2170 for a free estimate and take advantage of tax credits, grants, and rebates which won't last forever. Stop paying high energy bills and start saving money by calling 800-519-2170. 800-519-2170.
It seems like BS. Just a little bit of BS, but I'll let you decide. It just seems like a little tad. Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri, back in March, tweeted out, "I've been on the Armed Services Committee for 10 years. No call or meeting with Russian ambassador ever. Ambassadors call members of Foreign Relations Committee." See, talking about Trump and Flynn and all these different people that supposedly had connections.
Said, with the again, Russians.
Right. Specifically, this had to do with then-Senator from Alabama, who's now the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions.
Is it Sessions or saying? Sessions?
Sessions, I believe.
Sessions, plural.
Jeff Sessions, I believe. Anyway, so Jeff Sessions, because he had had a meeting supposedly, and so again, once again, she tweeted out, "I've been on the Armed Services Comm for 10 years, no call or meeting with Russian ambassador ever. Ambassadors call members of Foreign Rel Committee."
What's Foreign Rel
Committee? Relations, Foreign Relations. So she's never had it, and this is back in March. Within moments of her posting that, people posted a screen grab of another tweet of hers from 2013 that said, "Off to meet with Russian ambassador."
here's a little tip, Claire. The internet is forever. You put something out there, it's not.
Wait, what? Make sure I thought it was like temporary. It just was like for the moment. It's gone.
And you know what? Somebody's always going to find it.
Again, so.
Especially when you put your foot in your mouth.
No call or meeting with Russian ambassador ever. Never. Off to meet with Russian ambassador. That's what it.
You meant those Russian ambassadors.
I didn't realize you meant that.
I was talking about other
Russian ambassadors, like the
Russian. Oh, you said ambassador?
I was thinking ambassador.
It's different in Russian.
So anyways, that was, people found that and instantly posted up. Well, they now found that she actually was at a, not just meeting with him, but she hung out with him at a big dinner party.
Oh.
She claimed that she'd never met with him. Now they've discovered that she was at a long dinner party with him. This was 2015. So again, she tweets it out in March. Uh-huh. And they're like, "Hey, in 2013, you said you were off to the meeting." And then they found out in 2015, she was at his Washington residence for a black tie event. So more than once she's been there.
So that whole ever never thing wasn't really.
Ever means twice.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
never ever means twice.
In the Gregorian dictionary. Yeah,
that's
of
what
English.
It means. Two times. Yes, okay. It's equal.
All right. That's good to know.
It's like Roman numerals. You got to kind of convert for. It's like that. Something just like that.
IX equals 9. V. Mm-hmm. I always get it. It's confusing.
She has an explanation besides the.
Oh, okay. So she's got. Okay, I'm sure that'll. Yeah. She's going to clear it all up.
She said, "I should have been careful about the 140 characters and given it context."
There was
no context for "I've been on the Armed Services Committee for 10 years, no call or meeting with Russian ambassador ever."
What's the context? Because it kind of pretty clear.
Well, because she only had 140 characters and she was right at that 140, she should have put one-on-one meeting with the ambassador, and she didn't have that number of characters.
Oh.
She couldn't put it in there. It's funny because I changed just a couple of things. I just took out I've.
Okay.
Because you see people do that. It's
kind of
understood.
You know, it's kind
and
of
put been on the Armed Services Committee, and that got me five characters right there. And I needed just a couple more.
You gotta be creative with your tweets, you know?
Right, that's what you do. And she had already abbreviated Foreign Rel Committee from Foreign Relations, so I abbreviated Armed Services to Armed Serve Committee, and it got me enough characters to do 1-on-1 before meeting. And she could have no call or one-on-one meeting with Russian ambassador ever. See, she could have done that. If only she had better tweeters on her staff, or maybe if there was some sort of like class or something she could take to tweak better. Because otherwise, and again, this is just me, if not, it sounds like BS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What her quote should have been, I should have been careful about the 140 characters when I was lying in my tweets.
Could you get that in?
Yeah, I think if you, like you said.
Like a follow-up tweet with 140?
You work out a couple of the other parts and free up some letters, you could have fit that part in.
How many characters in, I'm full of I'm a three poop. Character full of. You can get that's definitely under 140.
Yeah, that'll fit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she can work on it. I'm thinking maybe we fund for probably trillions of dollars some sort of training for Congress.
She needs to pay her interns. That's what it is. She needs to pay them a little better. Yeah.
You get what you pay for.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Tweets in with the hashtag what I learned today. It's at Real Chris Cruz, at Cal79, at Doc Thompson Show, and at The Blaze Brad. So Cal is back. A lot of people are happy to hear you're back because they're getting worried.
Are they really?
Not in the office.
Oh, okay.
Like the people online listening, really that type of thing. Yeah, around here we're not so happy. But see, they were a little worried because you just disappeared for a while, and then we kept saying you were coming back, and then some days we didn't talk about it. So people started thinking you'd been Skip's Diner.
Had a meal at Skip's Diner. No, luckily, no Skip's Diner. My wife is pregnant. We're expecting a baby soon, and there was a little bit of a scare over the past week. Baby just decided, hey, I think I'm going to show up now, like 2 months early.
Yeah. See, 31 weeks isn't the full 40. No. That wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, no. So actually, it was 30 that she was at, and then this past week put her at 31.
Everything's cool though, right?
So far so good. It's like a day-to-day thing. She's I don't know what's going on in her uterus. It just seems to be a
well, if you don't know, I don't know.
It's kind of cramped in there. The party's just getting crowded, and the kid and this has happened with our first, with my daughter.
You had similar things, right?
Yeah, but she was also earlier. She was about 30. 6 weeks, 35 weeks. Baby just decided to show on up early. So we had to head over to the hospital, admit her, and they put her on bed rest and gave her a cocktail of stuff.
I'm sure she's not lying to you, just get out of working.
To get me out of working?
No, to get her out of working.
Oh, well, maybe, yeah.
Honey, I felt the cramps. I think I'm in labor. I better just lay in bed for 6 weeks.
We were at the doctor. It was a routine check, and because she's...
Is it a female doctor?
It's a female doctor.
Oh, they're in on it.
See, this is the other thing. Because she's high risk, quote unquote, and she's had a premature baby before, she's has to see... We see like three different doctors every couple weeks. So she has a specialist, and then she's got the OB who specializes in preemies. And so she was in a routine checkup, and they're in there looking, under the hood. And she's like, "You're this is the term, your cervix is short." And I have no idea what that means. I'm just like, was that bad? Is that, does she need an oil change? What is that? So she's like, yeah.
A couple quarts.
Your cervix is short, which basically means that the baby is deciding to come now. So they admitted her into the hospital, and she was dilating, and she was having contractions and all that stuff.
But they managed to stop it at this point.
Yeah, they managed to stop it and gave her some cocktail stuff to kind of put it off. But for the entire week, it was like one day she'd be good, next day it'd be like they come back again, and then or a couple hours she'd be good, and then the next hour it's like contractions are back again, and like
it's so crazy because you just every day they can stay, the baby stays in utero is better for them.
Yeah, every and day in there is better.
The good news is 28 weeks, for people that don't know, it's not actually 9 months, it's 40 weeks. Mm-hmm. Out of the 40 weeks, 28 weeks is the magic number.
Right.
28 weeks.
That's the danger zone. Before 28, you got some problems.
Right. There's... Quite often, even if the baby grows up healthy and there's minimal problems, you are more likely to have some sort of issue. Mm-hmm. They may be fine, go on to lead a happy, healthy, life, long life, under 20, 27 weeks or whatever, a lot of amazing. But 28 and over, you decrease the likelihood of some sort of issue, health issue, or ongoing health issue dramatically.
Yeah.
And then I mean, every hour they're in utero, yeah, it just racks up. It's better for them. Yeah, especially their, lungs are the big thing prior to 28 weeks as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's because they haven't fully developed yet. And, so they wanted to keep her. She's going crazy. My wife is a very active person, so she's literally sitting in bed, not doing anything at the hospital.
And your first, your daughter was born at 34?
Yeah, just over, about 34 in a couple of days, yeah.
Okay.
And we got a scare with her, but they were like, it's fine, this is not out of the ordinary. So they wanted to keep this one until, for at least another week, and they had her on observation. And again, the doctor would come in every day, one day, she's just so sporadic. It was like, he's like, I don't feel right sending you home. Mm-hmm. You're looking good at one point and then not, so let's keep you under observation, and we live like 40 minutes from the hospital, which is a bit of a pain. So he's like,
oh, back to the doctor.
Yeah, I don't
back
want to
hospital,
send you home. And then, on your way and you're delivering a kid in the car because you got a bit of a drive. So
yeah, that's not good.
He's like, let's just keep her here. So I was just back and forth, and I had my daughter here with me as well, because we just moved to Texas. We don't really have anybody to really help.
Yeah, your family's not here.
Yeah, so I had my daughter, and I was like, just, taking care of her, and then going to check in my wife, and I was
it's
back
really
and forth
stressful
in the hospital, and yeah.
Well, and then because you're dealing with all the logistics there, that first of all you have your job and everything that we all have, so everyone has these issues, and then you have the logistics of taking care of your daughter, and you don't have your wife's help and whatever, and you're dealing with all that, and then the emotional stress of saying, is the baby going to be okay? Is my wife okay? Is the baby going to be okay? I did that when my oldest son, who lives in Cleveland, was born. His mom's water broke at, it was actually like a leak. It wasn't even like the full, just had
just
issues.
Just
sprung a leak, basically, at like 29, 30, I think 30 weeks, something like that. So it went through the same thing, but because it hadn't fully broke, they're like, you think if you don't move and you just lay here in this hospital bed for 3 weeks.
That's the thing, just sit there. And that's what.
And by the way, most of the time, if your water breaks or there's a rupture at all, I think the statistics show a baby is born within like 36 hours or something.
Because that's like an infection. There's like a lot of risk there.
Right. You get all that because there's a natural seal. So she laid there for weeks, and I was getting up doing the morning show in Cleveland, drive to hospital all day there, all night, and whatever. I didn't have another child I had to worry about. And that by itself was incredibly stressful.
Yeah. Not much sleep in the last.
And they managed to keep him from being born for about 3 weeks. They did amazing. This is a Cleveland clinic. It was they were amazing. And he ended up being in the NICU for 6 weeks or whatever it was, and was fine, but he had to have a little PICC line put in his veins and into the heart and whatever.
My daughter was
so
also,
much craziness.
She was intubated when she was born, and they had to put a feeding tube in. Never something you want to watch or see your kid go through.
It's amazing, just a couple of weeks.
It is.
How rapidly they grow.
The development rate is pretty staggering. How fast, and every day, like you said, every day counts. So
yeah, they had him all bundled up like a little burrito wrapped up with the blanket like that, and unable to move, and little visor over his eyes because they had to have the light on him to keep him warm and all that.
The crazy thing is they don't know, like the first time around, we thought, because again, my wife is she's a very fit woman. She's a trainer and all that. Mm-hmm. And she was working out all the way into like, basically until she gave birth. Like she was doing barbell squats and stuff. And that's when I told her, because I'm like, should you be doing this? She's like, the doctor said, as long as I'm careful and it's not like it's something new. She's like, I did this before I was pregnant, so it's okay to do it while I'm pregnant.
Right. That's usually they say, don't increase or whatever. Yeah.
So and I'm like, so when it happened, and now looking back, I was like, that's what caused it. You're doing barbell squats at 7 months. What do you expect? And then here, this time around, she took it very easy. She didn't work out nearly as much because of this. She was just going very easy, and it still happened. So, and they don't know. We asked the doctor, is there anything? No, they're like, there's no cause for premature births. There's nothing that points to it, And
see, it's stories like this too, because that's expensive. The baby's already racking up bills, right?
I hate to say this,
The meter's running, right?
This whole week, obviously we're stressed about the baby's health and my wife and all that.
That's first,
but
sure.
7% of it in the back of my head is like, God, what's this going to cost me this week?
Well, no, Cal, and it's not because you're saying, what's it going to cost me? I can't buy that boat.
Yeah, no.
That's not what you're saying. You're saying, what's it going to cost me because I have to feed the baby once he comes out?
Do everything else. On top of it, I'm thinking, oh, man, what is this?
Right.
A week in the hospital, this is not going to be cheap.
See,
extra week.
These are the things that the average person goes through. When we talked about Obamacare and now the American Health Care Act, and you hear them debating this in the Senate and whatever else, This is my frustration because this is real life. I went through the same thing, the bills and everything. A lot of people go through it if you have a pre-existing condition. It's not that I'm not sympathetic to that. Of course I am. Anybody going through anything like that is horrible because most of us are not saying, hey, I'm not going to be able to buy that Lamborghini or something.
Right.
It's because you're trying to feed yourself and take care of your family and everything else. But the solution is not what we've been doing. You know how I know? Because it hasn't worked.
It doesn't work.
It has not worked.
Not at all.
And their solution is let's do more of that. We had a system prior to Obamacare with a bunch of rules and regulations, and we allowed the insurance companies to confuse us to what is health insurance and what is health care. And instead of saying, let's change that system and do something different, we said, let's do more of that.
Make it even worse.
Because really, right, all we said was, let's now allow the government to do some of that.
Right, to set those rules.
Right, so the government set
because
the rules.
Because they do everything else right.
Right, they set the rules and regulations which caused some of the problems. And then the government said, hey, the insurance companies aren't able to work within those rules that we set up. Let us also try to work within them. Womp, womp, womp.
Exactly.
Because number one, it didn't work for others. How are you going to do it? Number two, it's our money you're redistributing, which isn't necessarily fair, because there are people who can abuse the system.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, let's take a step back and do something completely different that would allow people to be innovative in how they use health insurance, how they get their health care, how companies start and provide both of those services. We didn't do that. So now, after 8 years of Obamacare, or mostly 8 years, I guess it's probably seven or something, since they passed it, the House and Senate, the Republicans in the House and Senate, the Republican National Committee, all of these had time to come up with a better plan.
8 years.
And the House did not come up with a good plan. It's a bad. The Senate's plan now is horrible, and it was scored yesterday by the Congressional Budget Office.
I saw that.
By 2026, 22 million uninsured. And next year, 15 million. Now, here's the problem. Garbage in, garbage out for what they score. That also includes some of the people that are not currently under insurance, that are currently not buying insurance, whether they face the penalty or not. So it's not necessarily accurate. But you have progressives saying the bill isn't progressive enough, and conservatives saying it's not conservative enough. And nobody is saying, how about we all talk about something different? Forget your political ideology for a moment, whether you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, progressive. Has it worked? Has Obamacare worked? Did the system work prior to that? No, it didn't work.
There's obviously issues. We need to do something different. But no, it's the same crap.
I know what it is. We do what they've done in those successful countries like England, where their health insurance company or system doesn't work.
Oh, the socialized health care? I thought that was working for everybody.
No, they don't have the money either. So that doesn't work. How did this whole thing start?
You know what hasn't been tried?
Free market. Allowing people to make their choices and decisions based on what they want and companies to make their decision.
What are we going to lose?
Right.
Give it a shot.
How about we do 6 years of this?
Yeah, just give it a shot. Let's just
clear it off the board and see what happens in 6 years. And by the way, and if you say, well, it's been a failure, this company was abusing whatever, then you create just a little tweak.
Let's just go in there and tweak that one little part.
Hey, try Relief Factor. If you're somebody that suffers from chronic pain and you don't have that health care because your health care sucks because it's Obamacare and you're still suffering with that chronic pain, try Relief Factor. It's an all-natural anti-inflammatory. And the key there is it's actually an anti-inflammatory. It gets rid of the inflammation in your body, thereby alleviating the pain. It's not just pickling you and masking the thing. Yeah, it still feels like my leg's going to fall off, but I'm okay with it because I'm all drunked up on the narcotics.
Pop a couple more pills to hold me off for about
20 minutes.
20 minutes, yeah.
And, of course, then it's going to cause a bunch of other problems for me, too. In fact, I'm going deaf because of it. Huh? You don't have that with the Relief Factor. It's all natural. Try it today. It's helped thousands and thousands of people. The stories we get that come in, regular emails, regular calls, people call in to talk or tweet mentioning how good it worked for them. Try it today. If you know somebody with chronic pain, maybe suggest it to them. Get a 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95, and you can get it at relieffactor.com. It's relieffactor.com. Or if you want to go old school and dial them up, it's 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned today. Let's see. Kool-Aid drinker. Hashtag what I learned today. Taxpayer funded tweet training for Congress. We'll call it keeping things on the covfefe. I love that that will be around forever. By the way, I turned to my wife over the weekend. I'm on Twitter sending something out. And I go, you know, if I was Trump, I would randomly a couple days from now just covfefe it up.
Yep.
Why not? Bring it back. Just bring it back.
Right.
For like
I would just covfefe. Own it. Start selling. I'd put that as part of my, again, you can't fix it, feature it and go big. Because it diffuses any attack from the left where they start, because they're owning covfefe now. You know, some people on the right, some Trump supporters are, but really people are on the left are using it as a punchline. Covfefe this, covfefe that.
Right.
Own it. Go big. I'd start selling shirts today if I was Trump that says covfefe 2020.
Absolutely.
I'd be all, do you know how many shirts he'd sell today? Covfefe 2020, official Trump merchandise, Make America Covfefe Again 2020.
But then the left would be all over him.
Sure. But that's his, that's part of his power is stuff like that. When they're over him for stuff like this, he's playing at a different game
what
or
if
a different level.
Dropped it in the speech somewhere, just like, and we need to, covfefe, tremendously get involved. And make America
we need to
covfefe
this, especially if he did it quickly.
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
And then people would question, did he really say it? Was that something under his breath?
I was at Comic Con. Covfefe, if you, something like that.
Did he have a stroke?
Right, that's it. Going, I think he just said covfefe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we'll play it at slow speed. And you decide if he said it or not.
It'll be like the Zapruder tapes. They'll just
over and over.
Every second.
But that's what you have to do with it or whatever. Just own it on up there. Get the tweets in. Hashtag what I learned today. Coming up just minutes from right now after the news, Brad Staggs with today's headlines.
They're good too.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.
Sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Welcome to the program. You want to join it? Please tweet. Tell us what you've learned with the hashtag what I learned today. Got a bunch of tweets coming in as well. Let's see what we got
Lots
here.
Lots of people are giving me, you know, like, glad everything's okay. Glad the wife's okay.
Oh, yeah, we were quite worried about you. I've been through it. It's not fun. Dumb Dun tweeting, honey, I never met that hot skank, according to at Claire McCaskill.
And by never...
Here's the picture. And here's the video of me coming in and out of her house. And here we are at 7-Eleven together.
Anything can be faked.
That's right. That's how it is.
Photoshop.
Never, ever. Remember, that means twice.
Yeah.
That's the official personal translation for you. All right, get them in. Hashtag what I learned.
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
These are the most profound. Yeah.
They
right?
are.
Okay.
We can't accept anything less.
And actually, I kind of got whiplash from headlines today because it's a serious, not serious day.
Oh,
it is National PTSD Awareness Day. I thought that was appropriate to bring up because...
Because you've gotten whiplash because it's serious and not serious.
Serious and not serious.
So but, I understand.
It is time to recognize those people with post-traumatic stress.
See, here's
disorder.
The thing. When it's a national day, like, hey, it's National Chocolate Day, right. It's like, woohoo, good. We're promoting and celebrating chocolate.
Right.
But when it's National Ricketts Day,
right.
It's like, oh, we're not aware. Celebrating. We're going to make you aware of it.
Right. Aware of a problem. That
However,
needs to be fixed.
We're going to make you aware of National Chocolate Day.
On the flip side of the coin, it is also National Sunglasses Day.
Are you making me aware of them, or am I celebrating?
You're celebrating. You can celebrate them.
Okay.
Celebrate them. Breaking news, three journalists at CNN have resigned over the Trump-Russiagate story.
Why would they have to resign?
Well, because they lied?
Apparently, they essentially...
Wait, that makes you promoted.
No. Actually, CNN... Okay, so the story was the Trump transition team member, Anthony Scaramucci, Scaramucci, can you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo
Figaro.
Magnifico?
Oh,
we can do this all day.
I think we were all right there with that.
Uh-huh. So they said that he had met with a chief executive from Russia before the inauguration, blah, 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 blah. But by Friday, the story was scrubbed by CNN's website, and a note left in its place online explained that the story didn't meet, quote, CNN's journalistic standards. In other words, it wasn't untrue.
it wasn't slapped together by...
It's a little thing.
So you're telling me there's a mass exodus at CNN today?
There's three
of them.
That
they're firing 98% of the staff?
Yeah, right.
Like the only person left is the receptionist, and she's on thin ice?
And the janitor.
Right, the janitor might be next?
Yeah.
Okay, otherwise that would make you a little hypocritical.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so details are at the Blaze on that. We'll tweet the story out as well. And in other breaking news, the U.S. has warned Syria's Assad against using chemical weapons. That was...
Again. Wait, are you reading a headline from like 3 years ago?
I know. This is they've detected potential preparations for chemical weapons in Syria, and they have warned him that he will pay a, quote, heavy price.
Seriously serious.
This time we're serious. Cut it out.
Although Trump did take action last time. So who knows?
All right.
I care. Apparently it's a developing story.
We'll see.
All right, speaking of whiplash, here's a scam warning, and I want to thank TMB listener Zach Bonesteel for bringing this to our attention.
Is the scam warning at Real Chris Cruz? It just says at Real Chris Cruz. Yeah, that's the only
scam warning. So if you are looking online for a Hatha Jodai, which does sound like something from Star Wars, but it's a rare Indian root that is thought to bring good luck because it's shaped like two praying hands, be very, very careful because poachers are instead selling dried lizard penises to those unwitting customers.
You know, if you can't trust people with...
so much going on here.
What's it called? Yeah.
It's Hatha Jodai.
Okay, so there is actually Hatha Jodai.
Hatha Jodai, yeah.
But there are some people peddling fake Hatha Jodai, which is actually lizard penis.
Correct. Didn't he die in Return of the Jedi?
I think he did. Killed by his own son.
Hatha Jedi.
Hatha Jodai.
Okay, so there is no substitute for actual Hatha Jodai.
That's what I've said for
years. And the forgers
couldn't
find something other than lizard penis to make the fakes out of?
Well, you don't understand how close it is.
Yeah.
It's really close. It's a natural fit, Cal.
Imagine a lizard penis that looks like two praying hands.
I was going to say, it's very specific.
You know who's marketing this scam, who's warning people of this? Who's the person who wants it out there?
The lizards.
They're like, I'm telling you, that's not Hatha Jodai. We need a marketing campaign. Yeah. They're at the Committee of Lizards we must get this out there.
I accept a drink from a guy. I fall asleep, and the next thing I wake up,
my two praying hands are gone. And it's the Geico lizard who's actually making the biggest statement.
Hello, I'd like to give you an announcement about Hatha Jodai.
By the way, stay away from Bill Cosby.
Now, this next story is a visual one, and we're going to tweet the link out to it because it's a video. It's really stupid criminals on parade. It's one guy. He tries to rob
a Congress.
Store.
It's Capitol Hill.
Exactly. Guy comes into a store, pulls out a gun, tries to rob it. Unfortunately for him, anyway, every single person inside the store at the time was a cop, and they were armed.
Man, talk about bad luck.
Let me just tell you, it did not end well for the guy who pulled the gun initially.
That's one of my favorite Friday leftover story ever, and I think I brought this up, is a guy who walked around a police car that was parked out front of a gun store to go into the gun store to rob it. There were armed cops standing in the store. He pulled a gun. Not only were the cops armed, but of course every other customer and the guys
and the
behind
clerks.
The counter,
yeah.
The clerks. Everybody was armed, including the two cops that were there.
Yeah.
It didn't work out so well.
No, it really didn't. And speaking of good news, bad news, the next story, do you want the good news or the bad news first?
Bad news. I'm a bad news sort of guy.
The bad news is that the number of opioid deaths in Canada is growing.
That's Canada. Yeah. That bad.
The good news? Mm-hmm. There's been a significant rise in donor organs.
Oh.
Yes. See, so there is a silver lining to the cloud.
We call recycling.
So apparently the one quarter of the organs transplanted in the first 6 weeks of this year were donated by patients who died of a fentanyl overdose.
So it all just kind of works out.
It does.
Well, good.
That's called karmic justice.
Is that something you want though? Like, you know, as a, let's say someone I'm on a list for an organ. I don't want one that was in a, druggie's body. It's probably all screwed up.
They clean it out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Do they run it through
put it in the dishwasher.
They're dishwasher safe now, Cal.
Yeah. So
that's right.
You get the organ, you're like, I'm itching for something.
I'm just really
little something. What is this feeling? I don't know. I'm really craving crack cocaine all of a sudden.
Yeah, the anti-rejection drugs is just coke. Oh, that's all it is. It's heroin, meth, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, what you want as a the leader of a country is to balance those two things out. In a perfect world, it's like you want to balance your taxes so you don't owe anything, but they don't owe you anything. That's how you know, idea. You want to balance it so the number of people dying from the opioids balances out with the number of people who need
the organs.
The organs, and you're perfect right across the board.
Yep. Maybe they do know what they're doing up there.
Always walk on the bright side of life.
That's right.
According to Monty Python, it is time for the transgender update.
We really need
something. So in New Jersey, Hopewell, New Jersey, actually. Freshman football players, they were changing in the locker room at the beginning of the school year. They were rather startled to find a girl. Says she identifies as a boy.
Okay.
Father of one of the players writes to the principal, the athletic director, to express concern about the young lady and the comfort of the gentleman. The athletic director responds, in turn, "I believe the district policy, which follows federal law, is that any student may use whatever locker room, bathroom that he/she identifies with. I believe there is no requirement for public announcement regarding this type of situation, or even a heads up."
I think they call this the Studio 54 policy.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what it is.
And
it might be the Sodom and Gomorrah policy. I don't know. I mean,
this is becoming more and more prevalent. I couldn't decide between this story or the one from St. Louis, which was essentially the same story.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening everywhere, and it's just.
So they were just changing in the locker room and. Yeah.
Because this is a girl whose head said she's a boy, but other than that, she is fully female.
Yep, she's still a girl.
So she's going to be changing there. So the boy's father, who said this is a problem, is going to have the crap kicked out of him. Because the other people are, was she hot?
Likely not. But there's always that chance. There was not a picture of her. Because you know that's private.
Does she have
you said they were shocked when she got undressed. Yes. So I'm guessing on the outside, she...
She have the Ralph Macchio, Rachel Maddow haircut?
Probably.
Possibly. And
she's hot.
Is she playing tight end?
Might be.
Hey, yeah, I don't know.
Thank you.
Quarterback. So let's move on.
Hey, would you ever notice that Gomorrah kind of gets screwed in the history books? Because, you know, we get sodomy.
That's true.
We get the name sodomy from Sodom and Gomorrah, right? It's the town of Sodom. There's Gomorrah.
Yes, right.
How come we don't call it Gomorrah me?
That's a good question.
You got to pay extra for that one.
Is that what it is?
Sodomy's kind of a given.
I mean, sodomy's kind of mainstream. Gomorrah me, that's where you've really stepped up your game a little bit.
Where I'm going to spend the extra 20
today. Hey, 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
On Gomorrah me. All right, so final story here. A nanny is needed for a couple, actually, in England. They're paying $64,000 a year. Looking for a live-in nanny who would earn this, plus 4 weeks of vacation. All I have to do is look after two children. There's one little hitch in the description, though. The listing says five nannies have left the role in the last year, each citing supernatural incidents.
I was going to ask, is the child's name Damien?
Supernatural?
Strange noises, broken glass, and furniture moving.
Interesting.
Would you take the job? See, it pays $64K a year.
Hell no. I've seen The
Is
Omen.
That pounds or
I've
dollars?
Seen Amityville Horror. I've seen, you know, no.
Dollars.
Do I have to live in England?
Yes.
Yeah, it's
but
not
you
worth
have to
it.
Live in the you have to live in the haunted house.
It was around the haunted house. I have nothing to do. I don't want to be around the bad British teeth people. That's what I don't want to be around. The haunted house I can deal with that, but seeing the teeth with the all
Austin
the time
Powers
that's
teeth.
That's not going to be good.
I know, right?
That's not going to be good. Wow. All right, one more. I'm feeling lucky today.
All right, so New York City, if you cannot find a bathroom, you can now call the toilet van. Charmin is driving a van around. It's called the Charmin Van Gogh.
Right, okay, yeah. I'm going to give it to him. That's
with just that a touch of a few buttons, a totally private and super clean bathroom could be delivered directly to people in select New York City neighborhoods, said the company. It is to select. I like that.
Anything above probably Central Park West.
Yeah.
I see a bit of a problem with that.
What's that?
They're not there instantly.
Right. Yeah,
I don't magically appear. You really got to plan for this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been my experience that when you're out and about, sometimes it's kind of an emergency.
Yeah, you have to go.
You're like, oop, I got to go now.
Hold on, what's the number for the Charmin Van Gogh?
At that point, I could just, seems like a bit of just a fun promotional thing for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just in case you plan your potty breaks, you can now call the Van Gogh.
Is Mr. Whipple driving?
Don't squeeze his Charmin.
Do you remember Mr. Whipple, Cal? No, you're right on the cutoff.
No, what was
the Charmin campaign for before they had the bears with the little toilet tissue stuck to their fur?
I don't remember anything before the bears.
Because that's really what they are. They got the bears saying the toilet tissue sticks to their fur, the cheap stuff.
Yeah.
Which
there's,
is.
And there's no rabbit around.
And there's no rabbit. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I do remember the rabbit.
Anyways, they had an old dude who told people don't squeeze the shark. He like ran a little supermarket.
It's squeezably soft.
You don't remember that, Chris Cruz, Mr. Whipple?
If I don't remember, he's not going to remember.
Yeah. So people would come in and they'd be caught in the toilet tissue aisle squeezing the Charmin.
Who doesn't like to squeeze the toilet paper?
Exactly.
Nowadays, you might be called something else.
Pervert.
In the aisle of squeezing the toilet paper.
No, I'm just squeezing the Charmin. That would be a funny video to see people's reactions, especially millennials. What? Freak?
What?
Got caught squeezing the Charmin.
I get my toilet
paper. By the way, this is Charmin. Hello. She was out in the alley out back. Hey, I got to tell you about Earthwater. Earthwater is a great product we all love here. Chris has purchased a bunch as soon as we had him on the air here a couple of weeks ago. I have as well. It's great. I think one of the coolest things is to be just drinking water around the office. People are like, what do you got there? Coffee?
Is that soda?
It's water.
It's black. The water is black.
Right there, the black stuff. What is that? It's water.
Yeah, it's water.
Mm-hmm. It's water. It's whatever.
Try it.
Earthwater is all really about good, changing and improving people's lives by offering 100% natural beverages that can put the much-needed micronutrients missing in your diet back into your diet. With over 70 trace minerals, it is a must-have. You could try the greatest water on earth, and we got a special discount for you. Just go to earthwater.com/theblaze. earthwater.com/theblaze. Use the promo code theblaze at checkout, and you'll get 10% off the already discounted prices. Try it today. It's awesome water, and it's doing something good for you. It's earthwater.com/theblaze. Use the promo code theblaze at checkout. Get that 10% off. Earthwater is 100% natural, jam-packed with over 70 trace minerals that your body craves and needs. Now, the main one with the little like kind of earth, the globe at the top of the top, bottle, whatever, tastes just like water. I mean, it's only water
flavor.
It is.
It's always a bit kind of like confusing because it is black, but it tastes just like normal water.
But then they've got the Zenful line too.
If you're into the flavored waters.
Right, that is clear. And it's just water. Like this one is lemon, lime, cilantro. But again, this doesn't have any sugar or anything. There's no calories. It's just the flavoring and then the minerals that are good for you. You'll be amazed at Earthwater and what it can do for you. It'll boost your energy level, rebuild your immune system, reduce your stress level, improve your memory and focus, and help remove the toxins from your body. It'll help you maintain healthy skin and nails because of those trace minerals. Get that 10% off right now. Go to earthwater.com/theblaze and use promo code theblaze at checkout.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
That they are going to hear arguments. Well, a couple rulings yesterday. First of all, they made adjustments to Trump's travel ban, which you probably got that information, which says they will. They lifted the temporary injunction stopping it. Trump had originally said a couple of months ago that it would be implemented within 72 hours of the injunction being lifted. So it will be in effect very soon. The only addendum is they said if you have, and I'm trying to remember the exact quote, if you have a credible or real association with a family member.
Are you, like, who decides what's credible?
The courts with all of the future lawsuits that are coming. Seriously, that's what's coming this summer.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. And Caleb made a shockingly good point yesterday on Think Tank about this. He said, we had heard Trump needed the temporary. It was only it's only a 90 day ban and then 120 for refugees just so we can find out who everybody is, get everything in order and get a system in place. Well, he originally put this in place in March.
Haven't we had
March,
time?
April, May, June.
Right.
You've had almost a hundred, probably close to 100 days to get this done.
Yeah.
Why do you need this now?
Exactly.
This is more about precedent and his looking good, I guess, right?
Yeah.
The marketing.
He's trying to say, like, oh, I took on the Supreme Court and I won.
Yeah, I guess looking for the win there.
It's precedent, yeah.
So then the other thing, Supreme Court said that they are going to hear the arguments in the case this fall about the gay wedding cake. The baker who didn't make the gay wedding cake.
Oh, the one that
and rule on it.
Was actually forced out of business?
I think he was, right? He was forced out.
It was a couple. That was in Oregon? This is another one coming
there
up.
There were several challenges like
another
this.
One coming up. And they're out of business, so what's...
Well, I think they're also pushing it through, standing on principle on this. But what's your take on it? The gay wedding cakes.
What's my opinion on? I don't think you should have to make cake for anybody you don't want to make. Like, whether gay, straight, Nazi, whatever.
What if your sign says, we will not do business with the Edwards?
Well, you can't do that. But what you can say, and I thought about this morning, every business I've ever seen has reserve the right to refuse service to anyone.
Yeah.
Sometimes for any reason they'll put.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that's not legal. That's what's funny. They put it. I think it should be that way. And I think you let society decide. Because they argue 14th Amendment that it's discrimination. But the ironic
thing. What's wrong with discrimination?
Well, that's the other thing. First of all, as a private business, you ought to be discriminating. Because I can't in my private life. I can say I'm just not going to be around people that whatever.
I have discriminating tastes.
Right. Is that everybody bad? Does. You have lives now that based on race or gender or whatever may not be moral or nice.
Right.
But that should be your right.
Yes.
So you get into that whole back and forth. But the other part, why does the 14th Amendment, anti-discrimination, which is even pretty broad, the 14th Amendment, why does that trump the First Amendment, your right to worship as you see fit, even within your business practices? Shouldn't they at least be equal?
Founding fathers are spinning.
This is going to be a fascinating case, and they better get this one right this fall.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Also joining us on the phone right now, Larry Schweikert, author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution. Larry, you've combined some of my favorite things, Politically Incorrect and the American Revolution.
Well, yeah, it was easy to do.
Now, what type of politically incorrect things do you discuss in your book?
Well, among others, the revolution starts a lot sooner than most people think. You know, we look at the Declaration of Independence and coming up on the 4th of July here. But really, the revolution starts with the associations in 1774. And these associations also blow another big lie out of the water, which is this was a revolution by rich white guys. The associations were groups of ordinary citizens across the colonies by the thousands and thousands of people who all agreed to totally embargo all British goods, to not deal in any British goods at all. And if you were in a town and you were dealing in British goods, everybody in town would ostracize you and would not trade with you. And these were significant. They cut British imports by about 90%. They were massive. So that's where the revolution really starts, is with the association.
If I remember right, the time frame, you're right, I think for a lot of Americans is off. And even the Boston Tea Party, and by the way, that didn't happen just in Boston. It happened other places where they dumped the tea in other places. They just left it out there, but like on the docks to rot. But it wasn't just that they were imposing a tax and prices were going to go up or whatever. In fact, if I remember right, the price was going to go down because England was trying to undercut some of the smugglers, right?
Right, right. And I say in a Patriot's History United States, the reason that we've never heard of the Delaware Tea Party is because Sam Adams wasn't around to write about it. But yes, it did cut the price of tea. And the idea was, if you've got a... Like, I just came out of Ohio where we had I-75, and the speed limit on I-75 was, most places it was like 65 miles an hour. And so the governor there says, most people are going 70, so I'm going to be real generous. I'll raise the speed limit to 70, but we're going to triple the number of highway patrol, and it's an automatic one-year jail sentence for even a mile over. All of a sudden, the speed goes from 70 down to about 60 because nobody wants to get caught. The same thing happened with the Tea Party. The British cut the price of official tea, but most Americans were smuggling tea at an incredibly low price, and the British hiked up the enforcement so much that smuggling stopped, and basically it cost Americans a lot of money.
Well, this also shows, too, that it wasn't just about the money. I mean, people got it. They knew what this level of control from England meant. That if they accepted it, it was going to be much worse for them, right?
Yeah. In fact, one scholarly study shows that the actual impact was about a quarter a year on Americans in 1770 of all the British policies. And nobody's going to go to war over a quarter a year, even in 1770 prices, you know?
Well, it's funny, too, the hanky-panky wasn't the, and you'll have to help walk me through it. If I remember right, the governor of Massachusetts had kind of a conflict of interest when they embargoed the ships. So the local people said, we're not letting you unload that tea from England. And he wouldn't let them leave then because his sons were sellers of the tea or something.
Sure. They were all merchants. I mean, that's how they made their money. But it's far more than tea. I mean, you look at land. Land policy was a major issue because American colonists were pushing westward. They were going out into westward. You know, we think of Arizona west, but this would be Kentucky and Ohio. And these were Indian lands, and it was causing problems. So the British, and also in 1763, put up the proclamation line, saying you can't go any further. And this was an issue because people had established businesses out there. Many had settled out there. And there was such a problem that the British rescinded the proclamation line, and then they established it a second time. So all of these policies combine to generate a tremendous amount of distrust and anger on the part of the colonists. And that's what led to these associations in 1774. I mean, this is serious because putting your name on an association list mark you for jail or even death.
That's amazing to think about. We don't give enough significance to that part of it, that by signing those associations, or even the guys that signed the Declaration of Independence, if things went bad, they were going to be the first ones that were executed.
Yeah, and England, you know, if you watch Braveheart, you know, they didn't mess around with rebels and traitors. I mean, they killed you in a pretty brutal way sometimes.
Well, I mean, you had to go through the appeals process. That had to take 20, 30 years, something like that.
Well, you know, you make a really good point, though, about time back then. And this is another reason that the American Revolution was so special, was we had 150 years of learning how to govern ourselves. It was called benign neglect. And basically, because of the distance back to England, the governors in America had to be extremely responsive to the public, or else they'd be overthrown. And by the time troops could arrive, it might be 2 or 3 months later, and you know, the culprits are all gone. And so England provided us one very good thing, which was this blanket of big security, I'll call it, with the army and the navy and they kind of prevented us from getting into a war with Spain or France or, you know, India or something. And at the same time, they let us develop our own institutions, which meant that when we came to the point of revolution, we were ready for self-governance, unlike most of, say, the African countries at the end of World War II when the Western powers all left.
You know, I never thought about that. That gives me even more pause to think about the divine nature of the founding of America, that everything happened perfectly. You know, like you said, that benign neglect, that 150 years for Americans to start figuring things out.
Well, if you want to get into real miracles, I mean, there's a dozen of them in the Revolution. I'll give you just two. At Long Island, after Washington lost a terrible battle, the British outflanked him. He didn't put sentries far enough out to his left flank, and the whole British army walked around his left flank and nearly enveloped the whole American army. And Washington escaped across the Long Island Sound there to Manhattan at night with his whole army, yet the British Navy was right in front of him, could have blown him out of the water, except a mysterious fog rolled in and prevented the British from seeing the American retreat. And then on a second occasion, at the Battle of Princeton, the American army is a little hesitant to take on the British regulars in open field, and Washington, on his big white horse, and he's a huge guy, he's 6'4", rides between the two armies, and he shouts out, "Come, my fine fellows, parade with me." And the British unleash a volley, and the colonials unleash a volley, and Washington isn't touched.
That is amazing.
It's incredible.
It is. Didn't they say when he would come, I don't know if it was a one instance or multiple, he came out of battle and like his coat was riddled with bullet holes, but not one hit him?
Let me give you a third one. At another battle, he rides with just one aide. Now, this is sort of like Stonewall Jackson, right, in the Civil War. He rides with just one aide out beyond the lines to scout British positions, and a British sharpshooter sees him. He doesn't know it's Washington, but he knows he's a colonial officer, takes aim and says, "Now, this wouldn't be very gentlemanly," and he lets him go.
Well, you've got to be gentlemanly, you know. Wow, that is pretty amazing. So we're talking with Larry Schweikert, author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution. As we head to 4th of July, Independence Day, actually, let me correct myself there. We get in the habit of saying 4th of July instead of Independence Day. But as we head to Independence Day, if you've got the younger generation that just is not is in touch with maybe our past and the American Revolution and how dynamic and special it is, What one thing or what couple of things could somebody say or do or discuss with them that you think may inspire them?
Well, you know, for one thing, the American Revolution is the costliest war in American history. I know we think it's a civil war and maybe modern people think it's a World War II, but in fact, this was a civil war. It was colonials versus British versus Tories versus Indians. It was a four-way war going on, and the record-keeping in all but the British Army was non-existent. It was terrible. And so Dave and I have gone through and looked at these and applied modern estimates of wounded who died afterwards. And of course, most of the missing were dead. Most of those who served and were captured and put in British prison ships died. And when you account for all the casualties, including the casualties by Indians on the frontier, we easily think that 6% of the people who served died in this war.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. All right, Larry, appreciate you joining us today, especially as we head to Independence Day. Enjoy your day, okay?
Okay, thanks, Doc.
Larry Schweikert, author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution.
You know, what's interesting about the Boston Tea Party, when you picture that, you picture them throwing the tea overboard. What do you picture? What are they holding in their hands when they throw something overboard?
The cases.
Right? All right. So what's in the case?
The tea.
All right, and what does it look like? I mean, if you were to pop the lid off.
It's powder, right? Like tea?
No, it's full tea leaves I've seen.
Oh, leaves or is it ground?
It's bricks.
Is it bricks?
Yeah, I think we have one upstairs.
Interesting.
Or, excuse me, downstairs in the vault.
Go.
It's a brick of tea, and it's yeah, compressed brick.
In. It's,
but, it's very straight. It smells like tea, but you just don't.
You kind of break it apart. Yeah,
you just don't picture that. I'm picturing Lipton tea bags in there. You know,
if you haven't read that story in a long time or gone through it, go back and reread it because your recollection, some of the things we were taught, are mm-hmm. a little bit off. But
yeah.
if you go through and read it, it's pretty amazing to see what they did. I mean, they were given the ultimate, you know, middle finger to the king and the crown. Uh-huh. And you had these rebels that take over the ship, and people stood out there and watched them silently. Hundreds, uh-huh. This is just in Boston. They stand out there on the dock, hundreds of people silently watching them throw these cases over. And by the way, it didn't take like 10 minutes. They rowed out to the ship. They took over the ship, holding the captains of the ship hostage and while they did this. And they had to crack open each one of these cases. And there mm-hmm. were hundreds of cases. So this took hours. And they threw the stuff overboard, and the people just stood there and watched. They wanted to cheer, but they didn't want to
attract any attention. Be labeled with them.
And the next morning when the sun came up, and this is December, there were still some pieces of tea that had floated up to the top, some of the tea leaves, and some people rowed out there and smacked it down with the oars. They didn't want any of that getting on shore.
Wow.
That's how pissed they were about this stuff. And the same was true up and down the Eastern Shoreboard. Got to tell you about Health IQ. It's a new sponsor here at The Blaze. It is a life insurance company that does things differently. Unfortunately, if you get life insurance, most life insurance companies will say, hey, based on your family history and BMI and all this, it's going to cost you a bit more. Well, what if you're living kind of a healthy lifestyle? What if you're doing things kind of the right way? Shouldn't you get health discounts or discounts on it based on your health? Absolutely, you should. And that's what Health IQ said. It took them 3 years to gather enough data and information and work with the different insurance companies to say, hey, this will benefit you too. Let's do things differently. And they finally got it done. You basically go to their website, answer some questions, and you can get a free quote. And the questions are things like how you live, how you eat, how fast can you run a mile, or these type of things, your lifestyle. And they'll give you a quote. You can get a free quote today. Just go to healthiq.com/blaze. Not The Blaze, just Blaze. HealthIQ/Blaze. And they'll have you answer some questions, and you can get that free quote.
I don't think people take into account, because, you know, you always hear, I don't need life insurance. That stuff's like, you know, it comes through, and you never really take into account how serious it is. But just to think about, I think about it all the time. Like, if someone would happen to me, my wife and my kids, how's my wife going to?
She won't.
How? How is it possible to
her
care?
Her life will be dramatically different for the worse.
With children, yep. And there's no amount of hours that you can work to make that happen. So you have to think about this stuff seriously. You need some sort of protection in life insurance.
Nobody gets out of this alive.
No.
Things like saving money by being a good driver, stuff like that. Health IQ is going to give you those discounts. Just get a free quote right now. HealthIQ.com/Blaze. HealthIQ.com/Blaze. Go there to get that free quote.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Apprehend tweeting, hashtag what I learned today. The president has morphed into a man with no title and no first name. Isn't that right, Thompson? So are you upset that I'm saying Trump? I get the same crap when Obama got elected. People are like, you're not giving him the due.
I always try to say President Trump, and I always tried to say President Obama.
And before that, I said Bush. It's just word economy.
Right, yeah, that's true.
Sorry you're bothered by that, but if you want to call me Thompson, I'm okay with that as well.
Whatever.
It's just word economy. That's all.
Chris Williams tweeted, hashtag what I learned today, CNN is the National Enquirer of cable news.
I think they're giving him too much credit. I think it's the World Daily News of... What were the other rags that were out there when the Enquirer was big? There was like a...
The Sun, the Globe. And what was it? The Weekly World News.
Weekly World News, that's what it was.
Weekly World News was the same company as the Enquirer. When the Enquirer bought Color Printing Press,
yeah,
they used the black and white to do Weekly World News.
Oh, so
the
same company. Okay.
They just didn't want to throw it. Yeah, they didn't want to throw it with
their black and white. Gomtutu, mm-hmm. I think, tweeted, great question, Doc Thompson. Why should the 14th trump the 1st? Also ask, should the 10th trump the 2nd?
great cause. I understand what you're saying there. So, well, should we run down? I think we have somebody coming up. We have a guest coming up in just a bit, but I think we'll have time to run down those amendments and we can dive into it. Because it's really interesting when you think about it. At very least, you're going to put those on the same level. And remember, after the first, they're all second. It's the big dog. That's the one.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
The collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
So, because of some tweets and based on our last guest, we kind of stumbled into some amendment and constitutional amendment talk and discussion. And the tweets questioned if I said, shouldn't the 14th Amendment at least be on the same level with the First Amendment? Because people say you cannot discriminate. 14th Amendment, you shouldn't be able to discriminate. You got to force people to make gay wedding cakes.
I don't think that's what they meant.
Well, no, not that one. Wait, I'm just talking what people say about, you mean when they wrote the 14th?
Yeah.
They say you can't discriminate because of the 14th Amendment, so you got to make gay wedding cakes. Well, even if that's true, even if that would apply, shouldn't your First Amendment rights at least matter as much that you say, because of my religion, I feel uncomfortable with this, and you should be able to. It should at least be balanced. But
or does it have to be because of something? Can it just be I personally don't want to? Freedom of my own personal belief,
I believe
opinion?
It should. It certainly follows the spirit of the Constitution, right? I mean,
right. Why do I even have to tell you the letter? Why can't I just say I do
there
not want to do this?
The spirit
this
of
is a
it.
Free country.
When you understand the history of America and what America is supposed to be about and the rest of the Constitution, the spirit of it should say, yeah, Cal, go and live your life.
Exactly.
So somebody mentioned, they said, well, what about the Second Amendment? Shouldn't the 10th Amendment also apply to the Second Amendment?
Yeah.
So the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms,
right?
Shall not be infringed. Well, the 10th Amendment reserves power to the states. It basically says that, stuff that isn't invoked here in the Constitution, that's not a definitive federal power, is reserved for the states. So in what would should be a very limited amount of federal power, you know, provide for a national defense, these type of things. Aside from that, it's all up to the states. They have all the power. So you make a good point about the Second Amendment, except what does the Second Amendment say? It is the power of the federal government. The federal government laid out in the Second Amendment that it is within the powers of the federal government that your gun rights should not be infringed.
Right.
So Second Amendment says, here is the law of the land regarding guns. The federal government has established that. Mm-hmm. So by the time you get to the 10th, even if it doesn't, order doesn't matter.
Right.
They've already established it. It's established. We do claim rights at the federal level to determine what is gun law.
Right.
So, yeah, aside from that, as long as it's not more infringing, the states can say certain things about guns. But the federal level said your gun rights shall not be infringed. Done.
Right.
Some people
the
are,
right to bear arms should not be infringed.
Some people are chiming in. So Chell Randall tweeted, the 10th Amendment is just for rights, not already defined. So the Second Amendment does trump the 10th Amendment.
Right, because they did establish that. In other words, the 10th is saying, as long as the federal government doesn't say, then it's the state's right to say.
Well, but
the federal government did say with the Second Amendment. So that's the whole point.
You can bear arms in your home. That's where the line is. Where can you bear arms? In your home? In public?
Well, Second Amendment shall not be infringed. It's limitless. That's the beauty. Now, people have tried to dissect the argument of, well-regulated militia, and that's a fail. In fact, let me see if I can find it. Somebody sent me a meme one time of a graph. You might be able to find it. Do you remember when you would diagram a sentence?
Yeah.
You'd go in school and you'd put the subject on a line
and then propositional phrases. Along the way.
You would do little lines out and all that. Mm-hmm. And they show, based on English, exactly what it means. It's not, oh, only for the militia, which means the military. It doesn't mean that. It means me and you, but shall not be infringed.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Right. But you could probably find the diagram sentence is pretty interesting. But yeah, so the 10th Amendment would apply anything beyond that.
Right.
So yeah, Second Amendment actually does trump it in that regard, just because, not that it's more important. It's not more important. It's just it established the very thing.
Right.
The 10th Amendment said, hey, as long as there's not a Second Amendment,
right,
or other things, other laws, whatever, you're good to go. Interesting, though, we were talking about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and why the Bill of Rights are there. Those are all amendments to the Constitution, mm-hmm. the first 10. So why weren't they just in the Constitution?
Afterthoughts.
There was an argument that said, hey, they're going to use this Constitution thing to screw us over and take our rights. We need to put in the Constitution specifically what our rights are. In fact, there were a lot of patriots that argued against ratification of the Constitution. I think Patrick Henry was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that crazy. Now you're going, this is the one thing we have that mm-hmm. we all hang on to. They were afraid that the Constitution would be used to limit their freedoms. So they said, we need to spell out right here in this what our rights are.
Right.
And the greater thinkers, the more, you know, long-term thinkers said, hey, man, listen. I'm paraphrasing. They didn't say, hey, man, back in the day.
They may have.
They said,
possibly.
Dosseth thou.
Good sir.
Dosseth thou. Hold oneth, man.
Hold oneth.
They said,
hold
hey, man.
Hold my kind sir.
Hang on.
Chilleth the F out.
If we put what your rights are in, people will say, those are exclusively your rights. Mm-hmm. See, the beautiful thing about this Constitution is we don't have to lay everything out. Everything is your right, so long as you're not taking somebody else's right. See, we don't need to put in there, you have a right to jump up and down. You could do that.
It's a given.
As long as you're not preventing somebody else from jumping up and down while you're jumping up and down.
Right.
Or preventing somebody else from doing something else while you're jumping up and down. We don't need to put it in there. And they said, man, I'm telling you, they're going to use this screw. And they said, okay, here it is. If we put this stuff in there, we need some way of telling people, but this isn't your only rights. We just think these ones are so important, right. We need to lay them out there. The genius was the 9th Amendment, which gets virtually no discussion. The 9th Amendment, paraphrasing it, Doc Thompson language is, all right, hey, y'all, just because we put this other stuff in there doesn't mean that's your only rights.
Yep.
In other words, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage other retained by the people.
That's what I said.
Much more succinctly.
Right, exactly. Just because we're putting this stuff in here doesn't mean these are your only rights. We just thought these pretty important.
And then that brought us to the ERA, and why hasn't it been passed? It seems like a gimme.
Well, we talked, first of all, what was the last amendment ratified? It was 92.
Yes, the last amendment ratified in 1992, the 27th Amendment requires that no change in compensation for a representative or a senator shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened. And that was proposed in 1789 by James Madison.
That's
as
amazing.
As part of his list of 12 amendments, including the first 10.
Which is incredible. So why didn't get ratified till 92?
Because between 1789 and 1992, the last state to ratify it was in Illinois.
There was no sunset on it.
No.
So they put this out there, and a bunch of states ratified it. And every few years or so, somebody would go, oh, there's that thing. We finally got to it. We had a pretty big
the 27th, lock going, by the way. I don't know if we said that. The 27th Amendment.
A lot going on over the last 70 years. We haven't looked at this, but we finally, let me dust it off. We got,
this looks
pretty good idea.
We haven't ratified this one.
And they'd ratified it. Well, then in 92, I think some, might have been a college kid or something, stumbled across in Illinois, hey, this thing hasn't been ratified by enough states to make it law, and only needs one more state, started a campaign and got that final state because there was no sunset on it.
Right.
It was like whenever everybody ratifies, it's good.
Yeah, in 92, following a letter-writing campaign to state legislators by University of Texas student Gregory Watson.
Oh, okay. So then...
Yay, Texas.
But the last two proposed amendments that actually got written up and, you know, people started ratifying or trying to get ratified was the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment in
72.
Was it that old? 72?
Yeah.
And one for state representation. No, excuse me.
Washington, D.C. Votes Rights Amendment.
Rights Amendment. But I think that had to do specifically with giving them congressmen.
Yes.
Anyways, it's people in the district want rights
to vote
that people in state should have, but they're a district. They're move out of the district, yeah. People. Yeah. Done. And you know what? I could even go along with their argument, except for now it would just be to tip the political balance in a different area, because they would get at least one at-large congressman, and they'd get two senators, mm-hmm. which would mean there's automatically two leftist senators, extreme leftists, automatically put in there. I'd be fine with, you know, they separated because they didn't want it, the capital to be part of one state because it would be too much power. That's part of the reason they did it. But at this point, take it, Maryland. Done. Mm-hmm. We can just knock this crap off. Just take it. I'd be fine with that. You know, yeah. I'd say Virginia, but I like Virginia too much. I don't want all those dirt.
It is ironic that when you go to D.C., it's a cesspool. I mean, you can't. It's the core of the city is you know, you got the pretty marble structure, but you veer off anywhere outside, and it's like, ugh.
It is. It's. I have such a profound, dramatic, extreme love-hate relationship with D.C. At the same time, I am passionately loving and passionately despising it.
Because you like the city, you hate the people in it, or like not the people, but the politics.
The politics, the crap, yeah. the lies, the distortion, the manipulation. The history of America, I go to the monuments and I go to the...
It's such a dichotomy of like the birth of freedom and what this country stands right. for, but it's filled with these low-life cockroaches that just crap on everything that it stands for.
You know, I go and see the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and I go to, you know, in the archives and... Mm-hmm. And I'm mesmerized. I'm like a kid. I just, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I walk down the street and I see waste and graft and corruption and
greed.
Paybacks everywhere in everything they do. You can see it. Bad decisions that you know, and then the city of D.C. is horrible.
Yep.
By the way, so we mentioned the ERA. How come that wasn't ratified, and could it still be? No, that one and the D.C. rights one can't be because they sunsetted them, right?
Well, no, because Nevada ratified the amendment in March of this year. It's the 36th state to ratify. It needs it's the fourth first ratification of it in 40 years. Ratification requires 38 states, so it only needs two more states to ratify it.
I thought it was sunsetted. I thought that they put a limitation
Apparently
on it.
Not. But the interesting thing is why...
So the Equal Rights Amendment specifically has to do... It would add...
Treating women the same as men virtually.
Okay, but is it specifically that it would add gender, mm-hmm. female or just gender as a protected class? I think at the federal level, protected classes, officially at the federal level, you cannot discriminate based on race, religion, creed, or national origin. So if you look at like federal fair housing laws, those are in there. But... gender was never added to that.
The amendment reads, men and women shall have equal rights throughout the United States in every place subject to its jurisdiction. So it just basically added, I guess, gender.
Okay, if that is not sunsetted, someone's going to ratify it. Two other states will ratify it in the next 10 years. In the world we live in right now, I'm shocked that they're not.
Me too. It's very strange.
But then you know the next thing.
The campaign was against it. It was called Stop ERA. They were worried that women would be drafted and would lose children in divorce.
That's what it was. They got against it. They were worried about women in combat, which is no longer an issue.
Right.
But now it becomes, okay, so it says men and women. You read the language. Read the language again. Again, this is the Equal Rights Amendment originally released in 72. Needs two more states.
Where is it? Men and women shall not be, where did it go? Hold on, give me a second to find it. Because
the language is going to be important. Pay attention to the language in this thing, too.
Okay, men and women shall have equal rights throughout the United States and every place subject to its jurisdiction.
Okay, I'm behind that. It should be added anyways. I mean, I think it's common sense and we should be treating, but if you're going to have race and religion, fine. Men and women.
Oh, good luck getting on what's a man, what's a woman.
Oh, there it is, Cal.
We'll be in there forever.
Men and women, that's two of the 182. Uh-huh. What about the 180 other, Brad? Uh-huh. So shouldn't the cisgender that identifies as a blah, blah, what about somebody who's man and woman? What about that? So you see what's coming. As soon, if this were to get ratified today, you automatically have a flaw in what many people believe
but
in society.
This actually could be the answer to that whole argument.
Because it recognizes that, but then it does not recognize. And then people say, well, I'm kept down because I'm gender fluid.
Right.
So you're a man right now that apply to you, but I feel like a woman. I guess it would apply to them. You'd have to find one that is third gender.
If you're a man or a woman, it's that basically takes out the differential. I mean, it doesn't matter. If you're a man or a woman, you get equal rights. So I don't care if you identify as a man or a woman.
But there are some that identify as neither.
Then you're
SOL.
So then they're going to have to add that. So, wow. Crazy. We went from 1972, people saying, we're worried about women losing their children in custody battles if they end up getting drafted, so we cannot support this amendment.
And now it's all about...
You may be neither. Women are in combat, you may be neither. And by the way, if you're going to go this far, ladies, how come you ain't be signing up for selective service? Uh-huh. Who's pushing that? How come you're not behind that now? You really want to be equal? Then roll your ass down to the post office when you're 18, raise your hand, sign that form, and say that if a draft happens, you're going to go and be a bullet stopper too.
Yep.
Because I don't see you doing that. I see a whole lot of you then hiding behind the men saying you can go and do it. This is the Morning Blaze.
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
I think about some of the stuff we're talking about the amendments and how little I learned in school, not because I was a slacker. I actually paid attention to civics class and history because I enjoyed it. But how wrong they were, first of all, the stuff that they didn't know, they didn't teach, and how wrong they got it. Do you remember learning about why we have a bicameral legislature, why we have a House versus Senate, why we have both?
I don't remember.
It's pretty significant. The most I remembered, and I thought about this about 10 years ago. It's like, wait, what? Is there like
checks and balances?
It was big state versus little state. You'd have population, big states would have more power and whatever. Right. And that had a little bit to do with it. But that's not the whole story. It also has to do with the system, the structure between states and federal government, as we just talked about, like the 10th Amendment, and the people. The reason they call the House the people's house is because the people were supposed to vote on their representatives, and the House of Representatives was your stake in the federal government. It was your seat at the table. Mm-hmm. The Senate that we now vote for, that's not your seat at the table. That's the state's seat at the table.
Right.
We would be steamrolled at the federal level, and the states would be as well. So the states needed somebody to go, hey, that's not good for the states, mm-hmm. not the people in the states, right. The states, because the states have a government too. So what happens now, because we elect senators instead of states appointing them, that was the 17th Amendment that said direct election for senators, which was done, I think, during the Woodrow Wilson administration, during the big progressive push.
Right.
People said, oh, of course I should have a right to vote for my senator. No. It allowed the federal government to take too much power. And that's the reason the federal government can now say, all right, states, you're going to have to go and do this.
Or else you're not getting
your money or whatever.
Money, yeah.
Well, what should happen if senators were there, appointed by states, doing the business of the state government, not the people. If you had a senator from Wisconsin saying, you're screwing the states, we're not going to be able to afford that, and it's a power grab, federal government, no. Then you wouldn't have all this stuff.
Right.
But they took that away. That is one of the biggest reasons we face so many problems today, is that the states have been steamrolled. The 10th Amendment doesn't matter nearly as much as it should, because you have nobody speaking for you. And what do senators say? They talk about the people and we're going to do this for the people or whatever. That should not be the case. They should be talking exclusively state government. And now, think about that system, what a beautiful structure that would be. The people represented, your congressman going, we need this for the people, and here's what's going to happen. And the states going, hold on, that's going to screw up the states. The state governments cannot do that.
Right.
they would have to work out common ground to get it done.
Do you feel like you're in class right now, Cal?
I do.
I find it amazing.
Professor Thompson?
You want to know the worst part about it? We can never repeal the 17th Amendment.
You can't get the genie back in the bottle.
Why? Right. You can't do it because as soon as I say, explain that, and you'd have more power to be right, people would go, you want to take away my right to vote for a senator. It's not your right. It wasn't. It wasn't supposed to be. It's whatever. Doc's trying to take our rights. Done. Argument over.
Slave.
Done.
It's time for recess.
Yeah, we'll just head to recess. Right. Tell us what you've learned along the way. Hashtag what I learned today at Doc Thompson Show at the Blaze, Bradnet, Cal 79.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Alright, tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned today. Got Carrie Lason tweeting, sweet cakes in Portland was case where lesbian couple complained and pretend court fined them six figures. Yeah, there's been a couple of different cases of it. I forgot about that one, but I please appreciate you sharing that one. It's just so horrible. Why would you want to be that? I mean, if you cannot, as somebody who feels like you have been discriminated against, you're gay. You want somebody to make, how dare you discriminate against me? If you cannot understand the other side in this, where people may not agree with you and say, tell you what, just don't keep me down. I won't keep you down to go your way. You are seriously missing something. You got to know that you are, whether you understand their religious ideas, values or not, you got to know to them, it's just as important or more so than your gayness.
Yeah.
Is it gayosity? Is that what it is?
I don't know that? The term gayosity.
Yeah. I get confused with
but
that.
But I don't get, I mean, I've never been so incensed that someone doesn't agree with me that I feel the need to force them. You have to do it.
There has to be a little understanding or an attempt at understanding people and giving people the benefit of the doubt. So number one, that people have the best intentions. You know, you may not understand their actions. You may think the path that they're taking is flawed. And certainly there are extremists in every situation. But I'll give the benefit of the doubt that I think most people on the left in these scenarios want good things for people, that they want them. But I just don't think they are going about it the right way. But if I start there, I'm going to be in a better shape. Can you also give me that benefit of the doubt? Can you start that I'm not just trying to keep you down? That I may feel differently about marriage. And maybe you stand with me and say the government shouldn't be involved in it. For the people that are fighting so hard that you must, if you are in business, do business with gay couples supporting their gay marriage. Those people are probably doing it because they're looking for somebody to justify. They want it stated by all that it's okay, that it's not a sin, that it's not wrong.
So like justification of that.
Right. They want people to say it's not wrong. And if I have to force you to make a cake, hey, that's the government telling you that it's not wrong. See, I don't want to tell you. Do you like me telling you it's wrong?
No.
Okay. If you're gay, you don't like me. Well, don't tell me I'm wrong. Again, the beautiful thing of our system is we can all get along and find the common ground.
Yeah, I don't see why.
It's nuts that it's that agenda thing. It goes above and beyond. Let's see here. Chris Williams tweeting, hashtag what I learned today. The president, we already got that. CNN is the National Enquirer of cable news. Cubby Thompson tweeting, don't listen to him, uncle at Cal 79. He's just jealous because your baby is coming out first. There's no jealousy there. It's all love. That's all part of it. Let's see here. It'll be interesting to see what happens when the Supreme Court rules on this gay wedding cake. This could set a precedent. It will set a precedent forever for 100 years.
Absolutely.
If they don't get this right. Now,
I like this tweet from Jordan Rick, though. He said, I hated history class in high school, but Doc Thompson should have been the teacher. Way more fun and interesting.
Because I say, what up?
I don't think that's what it is.
I think it's the slang terms. That's what it is. So here's the precedent that will be set with the gay wedding cake, that you will be forced in business to take part in commerce by anybody who comes in for whatever reason. And it'll actually be pushed beyond just homotype sexuals. It'll go to gender and everything else, people who identify certain ways. And it won't, unfortunately, reinforce, because I think they'll probably get it wrong. It won't reinforce what should be reinforced in both the spirit and the letter of American law, and that should be freedom to pick and choose who you do business with.
Yeah,
at the federal level or in government, if you say you cannot discriminate against somebody based on their race, you know what? We hire people for mailman and postman and directors of whatever. But you see what I'm saying, though? Yeah. When it comes to an office or something like that, of course you can't discriminate. That's an office for all Americans. Got it. Mm-hmm. Or if you're doing business, you know, as the government or whatever, you can't discriminate, of course. But that shouldn't extend to Cal and Cal's private business.
I bet you it wouldn't even be an argument and you wouldn't hear anything about it if it was like a Nazi cake. So let's say someone walked in, I'm a Nazi, I want you to make a cake of a lynching. I want you to make a cake of a black person being lynched.
Right.
And they would say, no, I don't want to do that. Do you think they would make nearly as much as a big fit about it?
It wouldn't even be on the radar screen.
It would be totally fine for them to say no to that.
It's what the media would say. Well, of course you shouldn't make a Nazi cake.
Yeah.
Of course. Done.
Obviously,
Move
I'm
on.
Not comparing homosexuals to Nazis.
No, we're just talking
the
about...
The point being freedom of choice of what I
right,
want
Right, because
to.
Guess what? There's some skinheads out there that would be pissed. Make me a Nazi cake, right?
Yeah.
It's all different opinion. And although if you're gay, you may not understand why it is so offensive to some Christians. You might be gay and Christian and feel that way. You may be gay and not a Christian. You might be gay and Christian and say, wow, you've taken it to an extreme. That's fine. None of that matters. It doesn't matter that I'm a Christian and Cal's a Muslim. These things don't matter with regard to how the government is forcing you to operate or not. What matters is I say as an American, I'll do business with Cal or I won't do business with Cal. I may just say, I don't like this shirt Cal has on. I don't want to do business with him.
Just the basic, simple answer of, I don't want to.
Right.
That's it. I don't want to. You know, the phrase that when you were a kid, everybody would be like, oh, it's a free country. Like, I could do whatever I want. When you were, it's like, I don't want to do it. It's a free country. That was like, remember when growing up, right. Like, it's a free country.
As it turns out, it's not.
Yeah. It's so frustrating on that point.
All right. Here we go.
The entrepreneurial spirit is to dream and to do. We are Building America.
Joining us now, Levi, founder of Electric Longo Boards.
Oh, Longboards.
Longboards. I got an extra
founder
O in there.
CEO of Electric Longboards.
Got that in there. How are you, Levi?
Skateboards.
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me on the show. This is exciting.
Okay, these are electric skateboards. Is that a good way to describe them?
Yeah. So simply put, they are motorized electric skateboards. What we have done is placed motors inside the wheels of the skateboard. And by doing this, we've created a board that goes up to 26 miles per hour, 15 to 18 miles on a single charge.
These things are so cool.
Let me see. You got it pulled up?
Yeah.
What's your website real quick?
So website is electriclongboards.com.
Yeah. Not electric, L-E-C. Electric.
Electric.
Yeah, get rid of that E at the front and then you're good to go.
Okay, good. So electric longboards, and I'll tweet that out so people can check it out for themselves. These look really, really cool.
It's such a cool way. Like, I'm not very,
athletic. Yeah.
And I've always wanted to.
Mobile.
To skateboard because it looks so cool. But I know I will be, I will be on my butt.
Do you have a weight limit on them?
Yeah. What is the
weight limit? The
weight limit
is 260.
Okay,
so 260 pounds. If you're under that, you're good to go. But yeah, kind of like what you were saying, it allows more people to kind of join into the riding experience, because see, the hardest part of skateboarding and longboarding is the constant transition from your pushing to riding.
Oh.
And this, you just step on and you accelerate, you brake, you do it all just with a remote connected to the board.
So you're right. I hadn't thought about that. But every time you have to push the skateboard, you're changing your weight and changing the whole structure. Whereas if I could just stand on it, it propels itself, I can work on the different moves. I can lean and steer and do stuff like that.
Yeah, your main focus at that point is just your balance and getting adjusted to that.
What's the range on these are obviously they're you charge them. So what's the range on a full charge? How long will it take me? How far?
So on it will take you about 15 miles. And that depends on the rider. So the board does have regenerative abilities, and it kind of just depends on how you use that range. So you can stretch that range up to upwards of 20 miles, depending on how you ride.
So where did you come up with this idea?
Well, I go to, college at Grand Canyon University, and I was walking to class and someone flew past me on an electric skateboard, and instantly I'm like, well, I need one. It wasn't even like a want. It was more of a straight up need. And I raced back to my dorm room to kind of look it up, hopefully make a, splurge purchase right then and there. And I quickly was disappointed because I saw the price was $1,500. And I'm like, oh, that's no bueno. So I had to start figuring out what my other options were. And I did my research and saw no one else in the market was offering an affordable board. So that kind of led me to, well, if I want it, I'm sure other people out there also want this. So that's kind of what got the project started. I enlisted someone on my floor to kind of help me with the technical aspects of the board, and him and I just hit the ground running.
So how many friends do you have working with you on this or starting the business?
So right now, there is six of us total working on it.
Let me see here. I'm just looking. Pre-order was $250 to get the boards?
So the first run through, so our pre-order right now for our new board is at $429. And then there's a current board out that we've been selling for just over a year, and that one is for $299.
See, those are great, especially by comparison.
The majority of these run at least $1,000 or more. So the fact that you're making a board that can compete with these, higher price ends and still keep it, relatively affordable, that's really, really cool. And I mean, for somebody like I'm a dad, and I've got, I don't have the extra $1,500 to drop on something like that. So coming something with a decent price point is a really
Levi,
cool.
What advice do you give to somebody who wants to start a business? The budding entrepreneur.
Ooh, all righty. So I think first and foremost, just go for it. I wouldn't worry or be scared of failure, mainly because it's just a overall fun process that kind of outweighs everything. It's not something you'll regret. The thrill of launching your first website or getting that first sale can't be matched. So just go for it. But just start getting connected with the right resources and individuals who can help set you up for success. There's a quote I tell people who are thinking about diving into their first business that I heard Taylor Swift said to Selena Gomez, and it's, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And it's kind of just that same mindset. You got to surround yourself with experienced individuals. I'm 21, so everything was brand new to me. I had no idea what I was doing. So for myself, I got connected with professors, but there's a number of free resources out there that you can take advantage of and help you avoid mistakes that others have already made.
Levi, good stuff. Really wise words, too. And I just tweeted out a link to your website. It's electric, electriclongboards.com. Wish you the best. Keep us posted, okay?
Beautiful. Hey, thanks so much, guys.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
Remember about Relief Factor. The website's relieffactor.com. The phone number is 800-500-8384. It's Relief Factor to get rid of that chronic pain. If you or somebody you know is suffering from chronic pain, check out relieffactor.com. Get that three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 and alleviate that chronic pain by getting rid of the inflammation. Don't mask it with narcotics. Knock that off. It doesn't work. Go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com.
You're waking up to the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
That is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned the Lizard Society wants you to know there is no substitute for Hoffa Jodi. None. We learned
especially if it's a lizard penis.
We learned it seems like the Congressional Progressive Caucus is hypocritical.
This seems.
Because they are. We learned it seems like Senator Claire McCaskill is full of crap. Because she is. Cal, spin of the dials, radio style, dials, text. What, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned after talking to Larry Schweikert, our guest, George Washington was a badass.
Yes, he was.
Like, he's like John McClane wrapped up in one. I learned that coming soon to the Morning Blaze, history explained with Doc Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I learned that my third grade comeback of It's a Free Country doesn't really work anymore.
Chris Cruz, what, if anything, the listeners learned today?
Because Stinky Biscuit Trudina, I always suspected the Morning Blaze would end up in baby talk, but not like this.
Not like that.
And finally, Doc Thompson, well, we can assume that another week has passed and Cal Yard has not been mowed.
No.
It
no.
hasn't. By the way, you know what else hasn't been done? We didn't get the new numbers on Procrastination. I'll do them tomorrow. What else do we have coming up tomorrow?
Food Biz Pro, Chef Patrick joins the show talking tasty treats.
All right, sounds good. What does Glenn have coming up on his show following ours in the Blaze Radio Network?
Top of hour two, talk show host, best-selling author Mark Levin joins the show to discuss his new book, Rediscovering Americanism.
That'll be
the
legit.
Tyranny of Progressivism.
What is Glenn wearing today?
Flats. Because he's really tall.
He doesn't need the heels.
He's
fine with that. Just all right. Nice. Remember the Morning Blaze of today, a Chris Cruz production. Six Semper Tyrannis. Good night, Steve Cannon. Wherever you are. Anyang, now you go home.
Good job. Tell me a little bit about the alternative minimum tax. We get into that, Professor Thompson?
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.